It's 6:53. Thank you very much, Sean, and you have a good evening. I got to tell you, it's going to be one of those sleeper evenings. There's 9 degrees it's going to go down to tonight, and then sunny tomorrow, a little breezy at times, out of the northeast at 20 kilometers an hour. And then Saturday, they're looking at sun. Sunday, rain. Well, I hope they're wrong about that. Labor Day weekend, rain. Oh, does that suck. And Monday, cloudy. The cloudy, they're saying. And, well, that's about it. I can't tell you any more than that, because I don't believe any more than that. That's the leading edge of the forecast. Beryl Wiseman joining us now. He's the host of Last Angry Man, which follows this show on the new 940 Montreal. Beryl, good evening.
Good evening, Jim.
I'm looking at this Stéphane Gendron stuff.
Yeah.
He's a real piece of work.
You know, I wish it was an isolated case. You and I talked about this over the past 24 hours, and it's gotten me worked up. And not because of the agitation, but when you replace agitation with incitement, and when you replace elimination with intolerance, it gets to be too much. We've just gone through a whole month of all the Stéphane Gendrons in the media and their counterparts in politics saying, oh, we didn't know, we weren't there. You know, the Hezbollah rally, the comments they made, everybody getting caught up in the passion of the moment. And we're supposed to forgive all this in Quebec. There was this whole storm over Barbara Kay's article about Quebecistan. You know, you want to reach a point, particularly at 98.5, when you start from 5:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night, and you want to say, you know what? Methinks thou dost protest too much. Hey, Quebec, ça suffit. You're not going to be forgiven every time.
B'nai B'rith Canada is characterized as beyond the pale, which is not a particularly strong comment, but nevertheless, Gendron's comments to Le Soleil. And I'm going through it. I've got the article here, and I'm going through it. And it's not just, I mean, it's comparing Israelis to Nazis, but there's a whole pattern there of Stéphane Gendron just blowing off at the mouth.
His argument, his comments
about. Absolutely unacceptable.
His comments about President Bush earlier in the month, earlier in the month, you know, it's not about pro-Israel or anti-Israel or anything. It's about intellectual rigor, restraint of consequence. There is a duty in broadcasting. It's not just show business. There's a duty to illuminate. There's a duty to restrain yourself. And I called him yesterday, spoke to one of his assistants when he was on the air, and I said, look, I'm inviting him to come on and debate me. I want to know if he knows what a Nazi is. To say a Nazi is not pejorative. It means something. I want to know if he knows what National Socialism is about. I want to know if he knows who today in the world is seeking genocidal extermination of a people. I want to know if he knows who is seeking territorial conquest and total hegemony. And dollars to donuts, he hasn't got a clue. This is typical Quebec mouthing off. And if he did know, then he would be aiming different words at different people and not comparing Israel to the Nazis, but perhaps comparing Iran to the Nazis.
But there's a long tradition of pandering to the perceptions of the audience, to the basest perceptions of the audience, to biases, to old superstitions. It's that tradition in Quebec goes back to, I can't remember when I first heard. It wasn't with the old.
Yes, it's always about les autres. And you figure you can always get a bump in the ratings if you start attacking les autres. But you know what? I wonder how much of that is pandering to Quebec, and how much of that is that in Quebec, in broadcasting, there's almost an implication, not a direct order, but an implication that we'll tolerate something outrageous for a quick fix in the ratings.
Yeah, but
I wonder how much of that is stems from.
But Beryl, I liked André Arthur when he talked about the cannibals in Quebec City. I liked Jeff Fillion when he was talking about the morons.
Ah, but that's the difference. That's the difference. That's the difference. Agitation. Agitation is good. It's good to get the vox populi's blood moving and incitement. And that's what Stéphane Gendron was doing.
Yeah, but what's the line? What's the line, Beryl?
Understand me well. I'm not suggesting there be any legal line. I'm suggesting that other broadcasters have a responsibility to look at their own and to look at what's being done. Where's the line? The line is simple. It is one thing to be pejorative. It is one thing to criticize. It is one thing to agitate. It is one thing. It is quite another thing when you compare a sister democracy to the greatest horror in history. And a two-year-old would know the difference. And unfortunately, we're getting all kinds of agitation right now, Jim, from Master Control.
All right. Well, we're out of here. Thanks very much, Beryl
Wiseman. Thank you, Jim.
Last Angry Man. And thank you very much to Chris Bumbray for helping me put the show to air, Margot Edwards, and the entire Drive with Duff team. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a good evening.
Now, the new 940 Montreal presents The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman.
And we're going to get a little angry this evening. We're going to get a little angry because we're going to examine what's wrong with our culture of tolerating what should be intolerant. And what set me off about this were stories that have been coming out over the past couple of days about 98.5 radio broadcaster Stéphane Gendron, who's always controversial, to say the least, but I believe stepped over the line when he compared Israel to the Nazis. When he was asked to clarify his comments on television and in Quebec City's Le Soleil newspaper, he said, well, of course, you understand this applies to the government, not to the people, as if there's a difference. I invited Gendron to this program yesterday. I haven't heard back from him so far. But it's troubling. It's troubling because we've gone through a month where we've seen public figures, elected officials, do outrageous things in Quebec. March in pro-terrorist rallies, whether they knew they were going to be that or not. Never take responsibility for anything. And we always sort of forgive them as soon as they go in front of a camera and apologize. But you know, apologies isn't good enough. Our history will be what we make it. We'll be judged by whether we, particularly in this industry, resort to nothing but escapism and insulation, or will we take responsibility for what we do? Will we simply incite when we should be agitating? Or will we remain intolerant when we should be illuminating? That line is the line that Stéphane Gendron and others in Quebec have crossed in the past month. When they cross it, as members of the industry of mass communication, the effects can be lasting. And in this business, there's naturally this friction between the dollars and duty, between the show business, entertainment, advertising side, and the information side. And it is no longer sufficient to say, I'm sorry, when you strayed so far from anything that is civilized. It is no longer sufficient to say, I'm sorry, which Gendron never did, by the way, but others have. It is no longer sufficient because nobody should believe that the preservation of this dominion is anything less than a seven-day-a-week job. It demands more awareness. It demands better skills. It demands more perseverance, particularly for those of us in the broadcasting industry. No body politic can be healthy without the intellectual rigor of restraint of consequence. We can't sell duty for dollars. The airways are now seeing a competition between malignant forces of evil. Great writer Max Eastman once said that the broadcaster who serves his advertiser best is the broadcaster who serves his audience best. And that means respect for that audience. People may be tired, but I don't believe that the great mass of people are stupid. I believe the broadcasters, like Stéphane Gendron, believe that they are. They believe that by inciting and promoting intolerance in the race for ratings, directing the most outlandish comments at Les Autres, they think they're going to get numbers. But in the end, the damage they do to our society will be immeasurable. We're not suggesting new laws, but we're suggesting that the rest of us take new responsibilities. And we say to these people, enough. The history of this province and of this country will be what we will make it. And there will be revenge and retribution on those who did not stand up and say, enough. There is a great and perhaps decisive battle being waged now against ignorance, against insulation, against intolerance, against indifference. But the result of that battle and the eventual victor is by no means sure. The only thing that is sure is our eternal vigilance is demanded. We'll be back with our first guest right after this.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. This is the new 940 Montreal. Let's talk. Call the last angry man, Beryl Wiseman, at 790-0006.
And you can email us with your comments after the show at info@iapm.ca. But we want to hear from you about tolerating the intolerant. And we start the show, as you've heard, talking about Stéphane Gendron and his incredible comments comparing Israel to the Nazis. You've heard what I have to say. Now I'm pleased to welcome Stephen Smilovich, counsel to B'nai B'rith Canada, member of the League for Human Rights. Stephen, welcome. Thanks for taking the time.
Good evening, Beryl.
Stephen, you and I were once panelists on a radio show not that long ago discussing whether there was societal tendencies toward racism in Quebec. What do we think today? How much over the top is this?
Well, I think it's incredibly over the top, but I think that it's in keeping with the recent politics that we've seen. It's in keeping with various Quebec politicians showing up at a pro-Hezbollah march. It's in keeping with that kind of a mentality. And these comments are, I mean, to put it bluntly, these comments are patently anti-Semitic. What Mr. Gendron said is he called Israel the modern-day Nazis. And inherent in a comment like that, we have to remember that the reason why it's such a horrific comment is that when you call a state a Nazi state, you're really saying that they have no basis for existence.
Yeah, it's not pejorative.
They're evil. They're not just wrong in their particular policy, but they're evil to the core. They're the worst kind of people that society has ever seen. So really, what Mr. Gendron is saying is he's saying that the Israeli, whether it's the government is not the point, but he's saying that the Israeli government is the worst government, they're the worst kind of people that man has ever seen. And that's an incredibly, incredibly racist comment.
You know, there are people who excuse this all the time and think, well, you know, it's business and he was doing it for ratings. But, you know, I don't think we should excuse this anymore. If these people are so stupid or ignorant or willing to be used as showmen, or whether they're just downright racist, I think we need enough agitation to get them off the air. Not through more laws. I think we've got enough laws. But this is borderline incitement and irresponsibility and citizen agitation against the advertisers and the sponsors may be something that should be considered.
You know, I'm not certain it's a question of irresponsibility in that kind of sense. I think it's just a question that Mr. Gendron is clearly coming forth and stating his politics, and he believes that the Jewish state has no basis for existence. It's not that complicated, and that's what he believes.
The reason I got particularly agitated about this story yesterday and have been on it for so long is that coming out of 98.5, which is a talk station, it's a station that we've monitored at the Institutes for some time, and you know, very often you see this thread, this line in a lot of the talk show hosts, or not so subtle, borderline incitement. For example, during the Middle East War, you never heard les Israéliens et les Libanais, you heard les Juifs et les Libanais. And that kind of stuff from one station almost makes you think, is this the way to get ratings, or is this simply an intellectual mindset that should be an outlaw mindset? And how do we approach it, Steve? How do we deal with that if it is a mindset of an organization?
But you see, I did a couple of interviews for another TV station a couple of days ago talking about this, and I was trying to explain the modern-day anti-Semitism. In other words, in the 30s and the 40s, and obviously preceding that, traditional anti-Semitism was directed against individual Jews, their characteristics, and so on, and the traditional what we've come to call the brown shirt mentality. And people have realized that that's unacceptable. It's not politically correct. So the new anti-Semitism is to delegitimize the existence of the State of Israel. In other words, I have nothing against Jews. Jews are very
right. It's just the government they elected in Israel, which is a state that happens to be have a majority of Jews that
exactly.
We think are Nazis.
That's it. But
how much of our tolerance as Canadians? Why are we willing to tolerate what should be blatantly intolerant? Not by recourse to the courts, but where is the outrage? Where is the cosmic sense of injustice? If it was reversed the other way, if you had a talk show host that said that some Arab nation was Nazi-like in its policies, My God, you would have another Hezbollah rally tomorrow. Well, where is Quebec's cosmic sense of injustice?
We don't have to be a deep scholar of Quebec history to see the line of anti-Semitism that has run way back. As a matter of fact, I just took a tour with my son yesterday of the Holocaust Museum, and we were standing in front of newspapers from the 1935, 36, 37, in the infamous saying we shouldn't allow any Jews here, none is too many.
Steve, but is it just Quebec, or is it has it become more than the none is too many, more than the horrors of the past, and it's this whole touchy-feely multicultural attitude in this country that, well, everybody's opinion is valid, no matter how gross?
Oh, no, I don't think at all it's a question of multiculturalism, because the multiculturalism that we are seeing in Quebec, in my opinion, is not really a multiculturalism. It's multiculturalism if you agree with me. It's multiculturalism if you go to my schools. It's multiculturalism if you support the Quebecois holidays. It's not multiculturalism if you want to go to an English school.
It's multiculturalism my way or the highway, but the rest of the country is still practicing the polite Canadian way.
Well, I think the best examples of this is you would never have seen Ontario politicians at a pro-Hezbollah march.
Absolutely, and that's the great danger here in Quebec, that it's at the top. Steve Smilovich, Council of B'nai B'rith, we thank you very much for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure.
Take care. Sharon from Montreal.
Hi, Bill. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
You must know how incensed I'd be.
I'm not sure who's more incensed tonight.
Can I give the following facts? First of all, number one, I felt that he plays down to the intellect of the people of Quebec, or possibly, as you know, we've been trying to get the Minister of Education to teach about genocide and Holocaust in schools. I even wrote an article that in your Barricades magazine, hoping to get it to the minister. Third of all, the Nazis stormed into cross Europe without any provocation. The Israelis, they walked into Israel, into a sovereign nation.
But wait, it's not about the facts. Do you really think Stéphane Chandron doesn't know the facts?
No, I don't think he does. I think most...
You're willing to give him that. He doesn't know what it means, as Stephen Smilovich just said. He doesn't know what it means to call a state or a person a Nazi?
No. He just heard the word somewhere. He does not know.
But Sharon, he's a graduate lawyer. He's a mayor of a town. He's 38 years old.
Shocked.
Where has he been?
They don't know.
Sharon, stay with us. We're going to pay some bills. We'll be right back with you.
Okay.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. You're listening to the new 940 Montreal. Now, back to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman. Call Beryl at 790-0006.
And we are angry tonight, and we're talking about tolerating the intolerance in this country, our inability to tell what's right from wrong anymore after decades of multicultural policies that have left us so benighted in moral equivalence we can't see where we're headed anymore. And what particularly set us off today was Stéphane Chandron, a host at 98.5, having temerity to call Israel modern-day Nazis. This is truly beyond the pale. But the question is, why aren't more people agitated? Why aren't more people saying, "Hey, Quebec, ça suffit"? Sharon.
The Israelis try to avoid killing innocent civilians and children. The Nazis set up killing machines called concentration camps and labor camps. The Israelis gave the Lebanese warnings. What did the Nazis do?
And you think any of these facts will affect the Stéphane Chandrons of the world?
Probably not. Not until the Minister of Education starts to introduce...
No, I don't think it's a matter of law or the
not
government.
Law.
I think it's a matter of citizens getting out there and picketing outside the radio station. Let him know. Either, hey, Quebec, ça suffit, and stop whining. Either Quebec is intrinsically out to lunch when it comes to understanding inherent evil and racism.
Right.
Or the citizens are lazy. And if the citizens are lazy, you get what you want. But it's not the government's role. It's the citizens that have to be in the streets. We've got to wake up because Canada is becoming overrun with this kind of attitude.
Absolutely.
That will take anything. Sharon, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
One of Canada's rare voices of reason and sanity on this issue of how to deal with intolerance, whether it's the homegrown kind of Stéphane Chandron's or whether the imported kind that leads us to become accepting of anything. of any kind of philosophy that's alien. Instead of encouraging people to understand liberalism and pluralism in this country, as Ambassador Martin Collicott, senior fellow at the Fraser Institute, he wrote a groundbreaking study earlier this year. We were privileged to have him as a guest at an institute conference and on this show. The study was called In Canada's Inadequate Response to Terrorism, and Ambassador Collicott is uniquely qualified in these matters. Particularly this week, he raised the issue of the problem with the Tamil Tigers. Ambassador Collicott is a former ambassador to Sri Lanka as well as Cambodia, knows that area very well. And we're particularly troubled this week again. It's not just Stephen Jean in Quebec. It's students in Ontario holding heroic parties for martyrs, in quote-unquote, for Tamil Tigers. And for those of you who don't know, the Tamil Tigers, a separatist organization and a terrorist organization in Sri Lanka, invented suicide bombing in the 80s. Ambassador Martin Collicott, thank you for joining us from Victoria.
Thanks for asking me, Beryl.
How bad is the situation in Canada? Are we ever going to wake up from our lethargy and understand what we're dealing with? With the Tamil Tigers, we had the specter of Prime Minister Martin several years ago attending a fundraising dinner, even though he was told by CSIS, hey, these are terrorists. What is with us?
We do have a problem. I think at least it's starting to be discussed publicly. Part of it's linked to multicultural policy, and I might say on that there's an aspect of multicultural policy I think is good, and I think most Canadians agree with that, is we respect people of different colors and different faiths from different parts of the world. Where we run into a problem, though, is official multiculturalism has promoted the idea that people from different backgrounds should identify with their country of origin and the community they came from. Even Trudeau admitted that the system had gone off the rails.
Yes.
That has produced an inward-looking attitude in many among members of many communities. It certainly did in the Tamil community, where there were large numbers of supporters of a terrorist group. And unfortunately, under the Liberals, this was regarded as fine. As long as they voted for the right party, you could do pretty well what you wanted. But there has at least been some public debate in the last few months. Some people still think that Canada's got the silver bullet. John Ibbotson of the Globe and Mail was on the CBC 5 days ago and said, well, we don't have a problem in Canada that the European countries have, because if you go to Holland, you've got to learn to be a Dutchman. If you go to Britain, you have to learn to be an Englishman. But in Canada, you can be anything you want. We're successful because we really don't have a national identity. And I don't believe that. I think, Canadian national identity is a bit complicated. We have the Anglophone, Francophone, and perhaps First Nations. But we do have an idea what it means to be a Canadian.
Yes, we do. We share the overriding principles of the Dutch and the British, of a liberalism and a pluralism. And if people don't want to live in a free society, as Prime Minister John Howard said, well, they can go back and live under whatever regime they want. Ambassador Collicott, stay with us. We're going to break for the news. We'll be back with some callers and back with more of your comments right after this.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. This is the new 940 Montreal. Let's talk. Call The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, at 790-0006.
Montreal, we're back, and we're talking about tolerating the intolerant, whether it's the Stéphane Gendrons of 98.5 that compare Israel to the Nazis, or putting up with groups that come to this country, ostensibly because they like the liberalism and pluralism here, and really revert to the ignorance and the parochial particularities of the countries that they came from, and indeed not only undermine this country, but seek to undermine the governments of their home countries as well. And we're pleased to have with us Ambassador Martin Collicott, former Ambassador Martin Collicott, former ambassador to Sri Lanka, Cambodia, among other countries, who's written a very important paper for the Fraser Institute, and I recommend that all go to that site and look at it. It's called Canada's Inadequate Response to Terror, the Need for Reform. And Ambassador Collicott, we were talking about Canada and how we can't seem to get the immigrants in the past 20 years to understand and accept what we're about as a liberal Western nation. We seem to pander to every group that comes in here, basically looking for votes, and you cite one example in a recent article you wrote on the Tamil refugee claimants. In 2003, you cite that Canada's approval rate for such claimants was 76.3%. Other nations, on average, accepted only 15.8%. As a consequence, in that year, we took in 1.5 times as many as the rest of the world combined. Now, what does that speak to? Where do we go with that?
Well, that is partly a problem with the refugee system, that we have a badly skewed refugee system in all sorts of respects. And Canada's proud of taking a fair number of genuine refugees, but the people can abuse and use the refugee system for all sorts of things, and the Tamil Tigers, in fact, brought in literally thousands of supporters through the refugee system. And we were, part of the reason they were able to do that is we make it extremely easy for them to get refugee status here, much more easy than other countries that don't consider most of them refugees, but we practically invite people to come here. At one point, the Toronto Police Task Force on Tamil Tigers estimated there were 8,000 trained terrorists in Toronto from the Tamil community. Now, they don't pose such a threat to us as the Islamic extremist terrorists, because the Tamil Tigers are basically raising money and doing procurement to blow people up back in Sri Lanka and India. But still, that's a pretty shocking kind of figure. And we have made it very easy, firstly because the Liberals were very indulgent politically in not declaring the Tamil Tigers a terrorist group, because they got political support from them. Secondly, because we have a refugee determination system which is still in a mess.
What does it say about our efforts with young people when I was struck by the similarity of offense of the students at Guelph and at University of Waterloo, and at Ryerson, hoisting Tamil Tiger flags, which had the AK-47 assault rifles across, and what happened in Montreal earlier this month with the pro-Hezbollah rally. We can't get the University of Guelph's Tamil Student Association also celebrating this Heroes Day when the first, literally, suicide bombers happened in the 1980s. Why aren't we getting our message across? Anywhere. It seems we're not getting it across anywhere. The message getting across is everybody's right to be wrong.
Well, right. That's exactly it. Everyone can do their thing. I think the new government is getting a little tougher.
Oh, the government is, yes. I'm worried about the people.
Well, and I think Canadians in general should be concerned about this. I think we've been told for too long, if we don't like them doing these things, then we're a bunch of racists. And that was essentially said by Paul Martin after he attended this Tamil Tiger front dinner.
But we're really not, are we? It's okay to be Canadian, Canada, and stand up and say, hey, we've got a proud tradition of standing up for liberty. Isn't that okay?
Well, I think part of the argument I made in my paper was, we should be much more forthright about saying what we stand for, and we have a right to be demanding of immigrants. The philosophy up till now is to give them everything they want. We certainly want immigrants to be successful. We certainly welcome them from all over the world. But I think we're far too indulgent in saying you can come here and do whatever you want. I think we should say, this is what we stand for in Canada. If you want to come here and join us, we're glad to have you. But, you know, if you can't agree to these certain basic principles, then go somewhere else, saying basically what John Howard said in Australia.
Yes. It's a bit disheartening, though, you know, when you recall Canadian history and you recall that in 1865, Thomas Darcy McGee said, there is room in this northern dominion, under one flag and one set of laws, for one great people. There is no possibility for that greatness under that same flag and that same laws if we succumb to hundreds of squabbling particularities. And here we are, 140 years later, and we're debating that still.
Yeah, I think he was onto a good thing.
He was onto a good thing.
Now, that doesn't mean we can't take people of different cultural backgrounds. And I think, you know, one of the criticisms of, if you criticize multiculturalism, you're often labeled a racist. And the implication is, if you don't buy multiculturalism in all its variations, you want to return Canada to a white, preferably male Anglo-Saxon dominated society. And that's not what it's about. I don't think many Canadians want that. We like the diversity. We like a certain amount of diversity. We like the cultural enrichment from people of different backgrounds. But we do have Canadian values. The idea is that we're nothing but a mosaic, and there is no central core of being Canadianism is simply not true. It's not easy to define, but Canadians do know they're Canadians, whether Francophone or Anglophone. And to say simply, you come here, it's a convenient hotel where you hang your hat and use our passport, and you don't have to understand or believe or be committed to Canadians and Canadian values, that's nonsense.
Ambassador Martin Colacott, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure, Beryl.
We'll be right back with calls after this.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. You're listening to the new 940 Montreal. Now, back to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman. Call Beryl at 790-0006.
And we're talking about tolerating the intolerant, and tolerating the intolerable, and why so much of Canada, and why so much of Quebec, indeed sometimes why so much of North America, as we'll be talking with our next guest in a few moments, continues to even think twice before just saying no. Steve, you've got a comment on Mr. Stéphane Gendron.
Yeah, you know, I'm Jewish, and I'm really offended by radio hosts like you or Tommy Schnurmacher constantly getting on the air, agitating for war against almost every Muslim state that exists.
And then, tell me when I've agitated for war against a Muslim state.
Oh, how about Iraq?
Yeah, how about Iran?
Iran,
how
Syria?
Steve, let's take it one at a time. Steve, let's take it one at a time. You want my respect? Show me that you've got some intellectual rigor. What have I don't know, I can't speak for Tommy, but when have I ever made a comment about attacking Iran or Syria, and when have I had a problem with anybody voicing a different opinion?
Look.
Give me a specific.
You know, it's just nonstop.
You think it's normal that a radio host calls Israel a Nazi state?
Well, I've heard people compare Ahmadinejad to Hitler.
To be a Nazi means that you believe in two things. You believe in a genocidal philosophy against another people, and you believe in the physical expansion of your own country, both of which Ahmadinejad has stated categorically and openly.
Well, you
he wants to kill all Jews. Excuse me.
Rhetoric.
Steve, it's not. Why is it always with rhetoric when it's animals like Ahmadinejad that are telling you they're going to kill you, Steve? They don't care if you're an ass-licking Jew to them. Why do you always apologize for them?
Never said he's going to kill you. What he said,
Ahmadinejad has specifically stated that the destruction of the Jews and of please go to the website of the Foreign Ministry of the Muslim Republic of Iran, and there you'll find speech after speech by Mohammed Ahmadinejad and the mullah saying that two things are necessary for the return of the hidden imam and for Islamic hegemony of the world: the destruction of Israel and the destruction of the Jews.
When you go there,
please don't apologize for them again. We're going to London now, where we're joined by Hamid Sabi. Hamid Sabi is an international lawyer, a veteran in the fight for civil rights for Iranians, the human rights struggle of Iran, and he's particularly concerned and has a particularly novel idea for how to deal with the request of Mohammad Khatami, the former president of Iran, who has been invited, unbelievably, to the National Cathedral to speak on religious dialogue. And Hamid Sabi has suggested that why can't he be arrested under the torture convention the same way as Augusto Pinochet was in London? Hamid Sabi, welcome for taking the time to be with us tonight.
Thank you, Baron.
And as you heard from the last call, there's a problem in Canada of tolerating the intolerant. Even the very people who are victims of the intolerance don't want to believe it.
Yes,
so this was a young fellow who doesn't believe that Mr. Ahmadinejad really wants to kill the Jews, and he as a Jew feels that there are too many people agitating against the misunderstood Muslim Republic of Iran. So how misunderstood is the Muslim Republic of Iran, Hamid Sabi from London?
Thank you, Beryl. I mean, the main issue is not to worry about what they intend to do, but look at what has been done. In this particular case, there is the issue of Mrs. Zahra Kazemi, a 50-year-old reporter, a Canadian reporter.
Photojournalist from Montreal.
From Montreal, who went to Iran with the permission and approval of the government to prepare a report about Iran's prisons. And while she was doing her job, she was arrested on the charge of doing exactly what she was permitted to do. She was tortured, raped, and then murdered in prison by an Iranian judge by the name of Judge Murtazavi.
Who allegedly hit her over the, beat her over the head with a shoe.
Yes, or with a heavy object, they say. And she was murdered. Now, nothing has been done in Iran. Nobody was subject to investigation or reviewing this thing. Mr. Khatami was the president at the time. The most important thing is that Judge Murtazavi was promoted to the position of Prosecutor General of Islamic Republic of Iran during Mr. Khatami's reign. Now, this man is directly responsible for this murder, and he's now being invited to speak at the most important university in the United States. And I think somebody should stand trial for this murder. It doesn't matter whether Mr. Khatami was at the time president, whether directly ordered this or not, he was responsible. And he's coming to the United States, and this is an opportunity to bring him to trial, and at least one person who has been directly involved in these matters should be brought to trial.
Hamid Sabi will be right back with you after this short break.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. This is the new 940 Montreal. Let's talk. Call The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, at 790-0006.
And we've been talking about the need to stop tolerating what is intolerable, to stop fooling ourselves, to wake up. And one man who's doing more than his fair share of this is our guest from London, Hamid Sabi, is an international lawyer, and he'd like to see Mohammad Khatami, the former president of Iran at the time that Zahra Kazemi, the Montreal photojournalist, was killed, tortured to death. He'd like to see him brought to justice. Iranian president Khatami has been invited to speak incredibly at the Washington National Cathedral and has applied for a visa to the United States. And Hamid Sabi from London is suggesting that legal measures be taken against Mr. Khatami, similar to those taken against former Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet when he came to England and was arrested under the torture convention. Hamid Sabi, how would that work?
This works on the basis that those who have joined the convention on the prohibition of torture can try any person who had committed torture anywhere in the world. So to establish jurisdiction, you do not need to have torture committed within your own jurisdiction. So it is perfectly right for the courts in United States, for the courts in Canada, or any other country for that purpose, to try Mr. Khatami for the acts of torture that it was committed during his reign.
When Pinochet was arrested in Great Britain, the action was taken how? Who took the act of restraining him? I believe he was put under house arrest at one point.
Yes, there was a Spanish prosecutor who took the liberty of issuing a warrant of arrest from Spain against Augusto Pinochet. And the warrant was served on Augusto Pinochet in London, and through the diplomatic channels he requested the extradition of Augusto Pinochet to Spain to stand trial for acts of torture and, of course, the other human rights violation that he committed during his presidency in Chile.
So this warrant, was this served on Pinochet by the police, or was this served
by the police?
So that's simple a procedure. A prosecutor, there's a country that's a signatory to the torture convention against torture, and the police have to carry out the warrant that's been sworn to.
That's right.
And then they place Pinochet under house arrest further to extradition proceedings.
Yes.
And theoretically, that could be done with Khatami.
That can be done with Khatami, and for that purpose, any other person who had committed this.
You must have been heartened when you heard, I know I was, and many Canadians were, when our government demanded that Saeed Murtazavi, who was the prosecutor in the Khatami case, should be arrested upon arrival in Geneva to attend the United Nations Human Rights Council meeting. Many in the West found it incredibly offensive that Iran would even send a guy like Murtazavi to that council meeting. So had there been a charge in any country against Murtazavi, and the meeting of the Human Rights Council had not taken place in Geneva, which I believe would probably be a neutral country, but let's say it had taken place in another country like France that was a signatory, the same could have been done with Murtazavi.
Yes, of course Murtazavi could. if the request would have been carried out, Mortazovi could face imprisonment anywhere.
As a strategy, as you know, right now in the United States, there's quite a move afoot to convince the American government not to grant a visa to Mohammed Khatami. What do you think is better, to let him in and to try a legal procedure, or to keep him out and send a signal to people like that in Iran that, hey, you're not welcome here in the West?
Well, it will be unlikely for the United States government to grant him a visa at the same time that they know that the warrant of arrest is awaiting him. So if they are aware of the request for extradition, most probably they don't grant him visa. So it would be difficult. In case of Augusto Pinochet, he was in London for some treatment, and he wasn't invited by the British government to London, and therefore the British government had no knowledge that a warrant of arrest is being issued against him. Now, Khatami's visit to United States will be much shorter than that, and the chances that the United States government would grant him a visa and next day arrest him, I think, is not that high, but every effort should be made to see whether that is a possibility or not.
Hamid Sabi, I thank you for joining us. I want you just a short answer to this question. I know it's late in London. You're intimately involved with Iran. You know the culture. You know the people. We have a country here that had a very secular mass of people. We have a country where the women's and student movements were against the mullahs. A lot of people were surprised by Ahmadinejad's election. Yet, why are so many in the West not taking Ahmadinejad at his word? What is it about the West and its inability to comprehend intolerance leads it to apologize for people like Ahmadinejad, as you heard one of the callers did today?
Yes, I heard one of your...
What is this denial?
Because this is the approach that we are embracing, to be good to everyone, to have an understanding, even from the people who are advocating terrorism and murder and all this sort of activities. I appreciate when these ideas are stated, but it should be considered who we are directing it to. I agree that when we are talking to the entire Muslim community, you cannot accuse them of being involved, every single one of them, in acts of terrorism. But when you're talking about a particular person like Ahmadinejad, who has supported every act of violence that had been committed in the last year, who has openly said that Israel should be wiped out, who has openly said that there is no Holocaust, and now he's pursuing a policy against the will of the entire world community and trying to create a nuclear technology in Iran. How can that person be justified?
We need to wake up. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. Hamid Sabi, thank you very much for joining us from London. We're pushing the clock. Thank you, Nick Mays, Master Control. Thank you, Val Prunikov, for being here tonight. Montreal will be back with you on Monday with a very special show at 6 o'clock.